AMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. Coming up this week, we hear what the tack is going to be for the crab in the Bering Sea when Three Seasons open next week. We find out exactly how Southeast crabbers did with dungies this summer. And the forecast for next spring's Togiak herring run looks mighty, well, average. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Though the Togiak herring forecast from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is expecting about 66,000 fewer tons of the fish to show up for spawning next spring compared to last, the estimate is still very close to the recent 10-year average. A 20% exploitation rate of the spawning biomass of 162,244 tons means there's a potential harvest of up to 32,449 tons in all fisheries and 28,782 tons in the Togiak Sac Row fisheries. Just over 20 tons would go to purse seiners and about 8,600 allocated to gill netters. The spawn on kelp fishery will get 1,500 tons, and the Dutch Harbor food and bait fishery is allocated 2,166 tons. The herring that do show up will likely be good size, though, with nearly 50% of them between ages 9 to 11, which generally carry an average weight of between 417 and 447 grams. It's just about crab season in the Bering Sea, with three species having openings next week. The total allowable catch, or tack, for Tanner crab is nearly 20 million pounds, about 30% larger than last year. The Eastern Bering Sea tack is split 90-10, with 10 million pounds going to IFQ holders and 1.1 million to CDQ groups. In the Western Bering Sea, that is west of 166 degrees, IFQ fishermen will target 7.6 million pounds, while the CDQ boats will have 839,000 pounds to catch. The Bristol Bay Red King crab fishery has a 9.974 million pound tack, which is ever so slightly less than last year. About 9 million go to IFQ holders, and about a million goes to CDQ. The small St. Matthew Island section blue king crab fishery also opens Thursday with a 411,000 pound catch limit. The Pribilof District red and blue king crab fisheries are closed again this year, as they were last year. The Pribilof District blue king crab must meet a minimum threshold of 13.2 million pounds of total mature biomass in two consecutive years for the fishery to open up, but estimates are well below the threshold for another year. The Bering Sea Opelio crab tack and season openings are expected to be announced shortly. Last season, the tack was set at nearly 68 million pounds.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Commercial crabbers are out fishing again this month for Dungeness crab in southeast Alaska, and the numbers are in for the summer crab fishery. It looks like it was a pretty average season. KFSK's Angela Denning tells us more.
This year's summer harvest might seem a little so-so, if you're comparing it to last year. But then 2014 was unusual. It saw a record harvest of 4.06 million pounds. This summer's harvest was 2.69 million pounds, and that's pretty normal. It's a tad over the average seen the last 5 years, and a tad under the 10-year average. There were also more crabbers fishing this summer. 195 permit holders participated in the fishery, while last year it was 163.
So this season, harvest was down, but effort was up.
Joe Stratman is the lead crab biologist for the Southeast region. He's heard that some crabbers didn't haul in as much as they had liked this summer, but following last year, that's to be expected.
naturally, people were a little bit disappointed at what they got this year. But from what we've heard, crab quality was good. You know, we had nice hard shell crab right at the start of the season. So what we heard on that front anyway, things were looking good. Other than that, you know, the price stayed the same this year as last year. So the price is still good.
Dungeness brought an average of $2.99 a pound, the same as last year. That brings the summer season value in Southeast to $8 million, about $4 million less than last year. Stratman says it's pretty typical to see fluctuating seasons in the Dungeness fishery.
Last year was a historically high harvest, maybe in the top three. So we had a really, really good season last year, and but it appears like this year we have kind of a more of an average season in terms of harvest.
The largest harvest and the largest participation in the fishery happened in the waters around Petersburg and Wrangell. District 8 had 84 permits fishing, and they brought in a total of 660,000 pounds. The second highest harvest happened in District 11, around the Stevens Passage area, which saw 454,000 pounds. District 6, including Duncan Canal, part of the Wrangell Narrows and Sumner Strait, brought in 326,000 pounds. District 6 had the second highest permits at 44. District 10, which includes the Frederick Sound area, had the third highest participation with 27 permits fishing. The Dungeness crab fishery targets males that are at least 4 to 5 years old that are not in the molting season when their shells are soft. About 75% of the annual Dungeness crab harvest happens in the summer season. The season runs June 15th to August 15th. The fall season started October 1st and runs through November. A few areas in Southeast also have a winter season. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
President Barack Obama this week unveiled a package of global initiatives aimed at cracking down on illegal fishing. He also announced two new marine sanctuaries, but as APRN's Liz Ruskin reports, they are not, as some feared, in Alaska.
Obama delivered the message in a video address to an oceans conference in Chile.
Building on our actions to keep illegally caught fish from coming into U.S. markets, today we're announcing new partnerships to empower developing nations to fight illegal fishing in their own waters.
Among the new initiatives is Sea Scout, a banner for international cooperation in the use of technology to improve detection and coordinate enforcement. The administration says it plans to make new tools available, like light sensors on satellites, to help other countries detect suspicious night fishing. Secretary of State John Kerry said at the Oceans Conference that the world must double down to stop illegal fishing.
It has grown into at least a $10 billion a year industry, illegal fishing. And the only sustainable fisheries are legal fisheries. Enforcing the law is essential for the survival of our fisheries in order to ensure fairness and to keep organized criminal groups out of the ocean.
President Obama also announced that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is taking steps to create two new marine sanctuaries. They are far from Alaska. One is in the Potomac River in Maryland, the other off Wisconsin in Lake Michigan. They are not especially controversial in those states. Obama also sidestepped conflict by going through NOAA rather than issuing a presidential decree to declare national monuments. But for those who hope or fear that Obama will create a marine national monument in Alaska, take note. Obama says he's not done.
In the coming months, I will look for opportunities to protect even more of our waters.
In Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Recently, researchers wrapped up a month-long cruise through the unusually warm waters of the Bering Sea. They were investigating how the second year of a warming pattern is affecting the ecosystem, including the nation's largest fishery, pollock. KDLG's Hannah Colton reports.
On board the research vessel Oscar Dyson, a dozen scientists have been trading 12-hour shifts as the ship traces a grid pattern over the eastern Bering Sea shelf.
From Unimak Island up to about 60 degrees north.
Janet Duffy-Anderson is a research biologist with NOAA's Alaska Fisheries Center. Her co-lead on the Bering Sea project is Phyllis Stabenow, an oceanographer at NOAA's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory. Stabenow explains, at each stop, the ship's researchers take both physical measurements, like temperature, salinity, and nutrients, and biological samples. The goal of the daily hustle is to study the effects of an unusual phenomenon in the Bering Sea. Last year, the waters warmed dramatically after a seven-year cold spell. This sudden warming bodes ill for some species, including walleye pollock. Duffy Anderson says the last time there was an extended warm spell
was between 2001 and 2006. For the pollock fishery during that period, it was a very poor recruitment period for pollock.
The poor pollock return, she says, is due to a deficiency in the fish's food source. During warm years, the plankton, or copepods, that pollock eat are not as fatty and nutritious as plankton during cold years.
The fishes that eat that prey base also are in worse condition in the warm years than in cold years. So, in fact, they're not getting this high-fat diet. They're getting kind of a more like a potato chip diet, I guess.
Duffy Anderson says this skimpy, warm-weather diet results in skinny pollock that have a hard time surviving the following winter. In contrast, Stabenow says during a cold spell, pollock are eating fat-rich plankton.
So by the end of the summer, they're short and fat, and they can make it through the winter much, much more successfully than the long, skinny guys in warm years.
Duffy Anderson says the warm years cause another disturbing trend, an increase in cannibalism among pollock.
When the nutrient base of the prey is poor, they go after each other.
A drop in pollock survival may be the biggest economic impact of this new warm spell. But the scientists say the changes go much deeper than a single species. Historically, Stabenow says, Bering Sea temperatures would fluctuate randomly from year to year. So you'd see a warm year, followed by a cold, followed by a medium year, and so on. But over the last 15 years, those brief highs and lows have stretched out into 5, 6, 7 year periods. Stabenow says this could signal a big change in the region's climate patterns.
Is this a random occurrence? Statistically, it's looking less and less like it.
With the warm mass of Pacific water known as the blob and El Nino in the forecast, continued warm conditions are expected. In Dillingham, I'm Hannah Colton.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KFSK's Angela Denning in Petersburg, APRN's Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C., and KDLG's Hannah Colton in Dillingham. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.